In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast of St. John, the Evangelist, the well-loved disciple of our blessed Lord. And this feast falls this year on Sunday, the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. So we consider today some of the most relevant aspects of St. John's life, together with this important, so great mystery we celebrate on Christmas, the birth of Christ. God taking a flesh from the Blessed Virgin Mary for our redemption. We know from the sacred scriptures that St. John was the son of Zebedee and Salome. And he was a brother of St. James, another apostle, whom Herod Agrippa has executed by sword a few years after our Lord's death. Both St. John and St. James were called by our Lord the sons of the thunder. So was their zeal, their firmness in preaching the gospel, in following our Lord. And from Christ, his own words, we can have a picture of his temperament, was his firmness of nature, so different that many times is depicted by the Renaissance art. His apostle, St. John, he was firm, strong. He preached the gospel and founded a church in Asia Minor, precisely in Ephesus and around those provinces around Ephesus. And it was during the second Christian persecution, during the Domitian, the emperor, which he was arrested and brought to Rome to face martyrdom. In Rome, just entering the city near the Latin Gate, it was there that he was cast into a kettle of boiling oil, from which he was miraculously preserved unharmed. God had a different plan, different design for these apostles, and so he will last till the end, and he will die after all the other apostles, closing the revelation, the written revelation. There are many things admirable in St. John the Evangelist. First of all, as you know, his zeal, his love to preach and convert the souls, so that he's usually called the Apostle of Charity. And then we remark in his life his science, his intimate knowledge of God, compared, as you know, to an eagle so elevated in explaining the mysteries of God, as we see from his gospel, his epistle, the book of the Apocalypse he wrote. But in particular, we find in St. John something special, something that explained why he was so loved by Christ. So loved by Jesus. And the reason was because he was a virgin. When he was called by Christ at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, John dropped not only the nets, he quit not only his business, his daily occupations, in order to follow the call of Christ, But he also renounced his legitimate right to be married in order to consecrate, in order to follow entirely our Lord, consecrate his whole life, his whole self to God. And in this, he resembled the Master more than all the others. This was the object, the reason why he was so loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know of our Lord's predilection for St. John also because of the fact, as you remember, that he let him recline his head on his breast on the Last Supper. And also, another very important event, just a few moments before Christ died on the cross, he gave him his Blessed Mother to take into care. What a confidence, what a love and predilection just before he died on the cross. And because of his life so pure and so innocent, St. John had from God this intimate knowledge of the Son of God. This was shown, for example, on Easter Sunday as the apostles were gathered in the synagogue and the holy woman came to tell St. Peter, St. John, the others, that the Lord was not anymore in the place, in the sepulchre. Well, he ran to the sepulchre, and the Gospel says he saw and believed. The Lord is risen. Another occasion also, after his resurrection, when he went with the others in the lake of Tiberias, they were fishing, and the whole night they didn't catch anything. And early in the morning, our Lord, who is walking in the shore, he would ask them, "Do you have anything to eat?" "Oh, of course not. We had a bad night." "Well, drop your nets on the right." And they did. And what a surprise. They couldn't take out the nets because of the multitude of fishes. And right away, St. John is again the first. He says to Peter, "It is the Lord." He recognized our Lord immediately. As St. Augustine says, the Virgin recognized the Virgin. What an example for us if we wish to have a purer love of God, and a more intimate knowledge of his divine mysteries, therefore to progress in sanctity day after day. We must absolutely cultivate the virtue of chastity, purity, even putting aside the legitimate rights of marriage sometimes, in order to give ourselves a time for meditation, to do some more prayers, in order to love God more perfectly without being distracted by the pleasures, the amusements of this earth. "Blessed are the pure of heart," says our Lord, "for they shall see God." Finally, it is also thanks to this apostle that we have known the eternal generation of the Son of God, and it was precisely to defend the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ that he wrote the fourth gospel, in order to defend from certain heretics who denied our Lord was God. And so it's so important, this gospel, that we read it, the beginning of it. We read it every day after Mass. St. John is the one who gives us the light to comprehend, so to speak, this mystery we celebrate in this season, the incarnation of God for our redemption. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory, as it were, of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know through this gospel, therefore, more than by any other, that God became man without leaving His divinity in order to save the mankind. That He was not satisfied sending the Old Testament, His patriarchs, His prophets, those inspired people, to lead His people, to be away from any error or corruption. But He has sent His only Son, who became man in order to save us, in order to merit us heaven and avoid the hell, the place we had deserved for our sins. God loved the world so much that He has sent His only begotten Son. That was the main reason of this mystery, the incarnation of God. He wanted to show His goodness and love for us. He wanted to share this happiness with us. He was infinitely perfect, infinitely happy from all eternity. What need did He have of creating man, and then after the fall, to rescue, to take care even more than before of us, poor sinners, poor creatures? Well, He wanted to show that infinite love, and He wanted to communicate that goodness with us, so that we may also have one day eternal happiness in heaven. What lesson can we take today from St. John the Evangelist, the beloved disciple of our Lord? Well, the apostle of love would not leave us but a testimony, a testament of love, and therefore we learn from him what is really the most important thing in our life: to love God and to love our neighbor. How can we love God whom we cannot see, he would say, not loving our neighbor whom we see? This is a question we should ask us every day. Do we really love each other? Do we really love our neighbors? And then you know that when he was old, St. John, and he could no longer give sermons, he would always repeat again and again the same: "My children love each other." And so he was asked, "Why, Master, why you always say the same?" Well, he would answer, "Because this is the commandment of the Lord, and he who observes this does enough." Let us pray today in front of our Lord, who is born for us, for our salvation, and let us ask him, through the intercession of his beloved apostle, St. John, to lead a pure life, an innocent life, away from many occasions of sins, and also that we may grow in knowing our Lord, so that we can love him better every day, and our neighbors, for God's love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.